For people who have been listening to the podcast for a number of years, you might have caught that I really try to steer away from descriptive words and, you know, adjectives that help describe drill hits or projects, because obviously everything is high grade or, you know, superb or whatever. You know, a lot of news releases make it sound a lot better than what it might actually be. But this morning I kept it in for Summa Silver, because they had one hell of a drill hit out of their Hughes property in Tonopah. They drilled just under 12,000 grams per ton silver equivalent, with about 0.9 meters in width here, and that was within a broader interval of 2.8 meters of just 4,500 grams per ton silver equivalent. So I am not hesitant to say that Galen McNamara, that is quite bonanza grade there.
Yeah, you know, I think that's a fair comment to make for sure, Trevor, and one that I make pretty seriously as well. I think anytime that you can drill, you know, an intersection that's over 10,000 grams per ton silver equivalent, which on a percent basis is over 1%, I think that's pretty special.
That is special. I mean, and obviously you're being rewarded. You're up over just under 10% earlier. That's kind of come up off its highs, but still, you know, you're being rewarded for this excellent drill hit in a market that's just been really beaten down over the last couple of weeks. So that's good. It means the market is paying attention and they want to see good grades and good drill results, good exploration work. But this, you know, this is just one drill hit. What does this mean for the overall project here?
That's right. I think that's an important point. You know, we've had such a rough little while here in the precious metal markets, and I've been through this process, you know, once or twice before. The discovery process is what I mean to say. And you know what? Rome wasn't built in a day, right? Like it's a lot of times when world-class drill results don't really get recognized on the first, you know, the first little while after they come out, and of course therein lies the opportunity for investors. So, but bigger picture, it's a great development for the project. It's a great development for the entire district, because now, you know, when you get results that are this high grade, it's really, I think, going to bring a lot of eyeballs into the area. And let's remember, this is the heart of Nevada mining country. You know, it's not some other place that maybe in the third world that you have to deal with corruption or any of that. This is really where the magic happens. So I think we're going to start to see a renewed interest in places like Nevada, and us being lucky enough to be in this district and in this area and getting some, again, good luck with some great drill results. I think it can only bode well for our company.
Yeah. So what's important about this, other than the grade here, is that this rescue vein system really is turning into a very prominent prospect for the property. Try to say that 10 times fast. You've put 8 holes now into this rescue vein. You've had good grades, obviously good continuity. But on top of that, you're also seeing stacked veinage, it seems like. So it's kind of expanding here.
That's right. You know, anytime you start stacking veins, you start doubling or tripling your ounce potential. So some of the stacked veins we're seeing in other holes, certainly narrow widths over 1,000 grams per ton, but the way these systems work is that you often don't set out far for them to really expand. It doesn't take much to go from, you know, centimeters to meters in terms of step out length at all. So we like that potential as well. We just keep seeing upside in this part of the property, which is really one vein set in one of the old mines across multiple targets over 3.5 kilometers. So I've been beating the drum on this for a long time. You know, we're really only just getting started. So it's nice to be able to start seeing some fruits of our labors.
Yeah. So the rescue vein, correct me if I'm wrong, but that's more along the northern part of that original property line.
It's right in the more or less the center of the property.
Okay.
Along the southern portion of the old Belmont mine. It's one of the parts of the mine that they didn't really get to mining way back in the day, 100 years ago, before things shut down in the district.
Okay, very good. But I do want to spend some time here also talking to you about the widths of these intervals and these veins.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of this give and take about, you know, a lot of these veins, typically you can see narrower width, but you have to make up for that narrow width by having higher grade, because that's going to come into eventually, hopefully, a mine plan and how you get it extracted and still not have to, you know, move more waste rock to get to the vein. But what you're seeing here, like, you know, tell us what you're seeing as far as this continuing to be positive and how you're kind of combating. You have wider widths in the veins on top of really good high grade here. So it's you know, you're kind of, you're almost like you're hitting, you know, 70%.
Yeah, no, for sure. And that's always the fun in systems like this. It's that you have to balance width against grade. And when you think about what a minimum mining width would be, say it's between 2 and 3 meters. You know, these grades bode extremely well for what I think would work at, you know, at those mining widths. And of course, I think a great example of a company that is about to pull the trigger on doing that is Orkana. You know, similar widths, great story, about to go into production, you know, just on the cusp of realizing, I think, something very good. And Trevor, you would know this better than I would. I think, what's their market cap right now?
Oh, you know what? I actually had it pulled up here. I'm actually going to go see that mine here next week and a half. Their market cap is just under 200,000, or excuse me, 200 million.
200 million, you know, you look at a company like ours, and we're sitting right at about 60 million, I think, give or take today. So, you know, again, that's another point I want to make, is that this is the 30th hole on the project. If you compare that to some of the more advanced, better drilled projects out there that support much higher market caps, you know, a lot of those companies are 200-300 holes in, this hole would be a headline for them as well. So I think that's a really important thing to say, is that hey, we're 30 holes in here, and we're getting hits that are, you know, similar to what you'd get, you know, in companies that have market caps of $500+ million.
Well,
we're at 60.
Yeah, well, I want to push back on you a little bit, Galen. I'd love to do this because I know you well enough to where you can handle it. But, you know, Orkana, that project has been in the works for many, many years.
Right.
They have a permit. So they are, you know, being evaluated much differently than what Suma is. Granted, the upside with Suma, you have a much larger land package. You're seeing a higher grade, but you've got a long way to go before you even get to that, right?
Oh, I think that's saying we have a long way to go is an understatement. But again, therein lies the opportunity. That's like, you know, you take joy in the path, right? Not the end result.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
It's the drilling this out, you know, fingers crossed, or in situations like this is where a lot of the joy comes from. If you're an investor that is into that part of the cycle, that part of the discovery cycle.
Yep. What else were you seeing out of these latest drill results? That does it change your strategy at all? Are you getting a better sense of the mineralization and where you could be heading with the drill results, you know, in the near future?
You know, does it change the strategy at all? Well, I'll say, like, now is not the time to be less aggressive. That's for sure.
Sure.
We're well financed with about $9.5 million in working capital. Going forward, I think what we need to do is really take our time to understand, you know, what these high grades mean, where they could be going. Like I was saying, I've been through this cycle once or twice before. So in terms of drilling, there's a time to step out and there's a time to stay close. And when you have hits like this, you can have a lot of ounces in a relatively small area. So we need to balance step outs from this drill hole. That I think maximize our chances of further success against step outs that are more blue sky, that are really going to show the potential of the property and the bigger picture. So what we're doing going forward is definitely there's going to be a lot more holes, I would say, on the Rescue vein system. But also we've been stepping out around the property in different spots. And one of the places that we are going to drill very, very soon is the Ruby target, which is that 1.3 kilometer eastern step out from this area, from the Belmont mine, in which one of our holes last year hit, you know, some very high grade stuff, albeit a little narrow. I think the total intersection was 520 grams per ton silver equivalent over a couple of meters. But there was a high-grade kicker in there of almost 1,600 over half a meter. And that was not quite a wildcat because we had some clues that there would be some silver out there. But that was a big step out. So that's another one where we need to test targets like that as well. And it's kind of funny right now in Nevada, you hear about, you know, it's really hard to find equipment. So right now we're waiting on an RC rig to put out there and to drill some pre-callers, but that should get here in the next couple weeks, and then we'll drill those targets too. So, you know, in a roundabout way to answer your question, Trevor, now is not the time to be less aggressive, number one. Number two, and now it's up to us to figure out how to balance drill hole aggression versus things where we're pretty sure we're going to hit, and I think there's going to be some more interesting results coming out.
Yeah, yeah. With these latest results here at the rescue veins, could you potentially see this portion of the property in time kind of being the first step into some production, some cash flow?
Yeah, you know, that's a good question, and I'm very sensitive of getting ahead of myself.
Right
now, we need to figure out exactly what we have in our hands before, you know, I can really start waving my arms on that. So far, it's the best looking part of this property so far. But when you have something that's over 3.5 kilometers where we know there's mineralization and a lot of it's wide open, well, hey, there's a lot of horses in this race, and let's see which one wins.
Yeah, I got to get your comments here, especially for listeners who maybe either have or have not been paying attention to what's happening around Tonopah. A little bit of a land rush. You added more land to your package. Both BlackRock Silver and Viva Gold have added claims to their land package, and I'm sure there's others. Those are the three that I pay really close attention to. Apologize to anybody out there listening that thinks I should be paying attention to others, but it's really heating up here outside of Tonopah.
It's really heating up, and I think I said this on the show last time I was on, was that I look at a district like the Bullfrog District. A few years ago, there was just juniors in there, and now you've got several majors. You've got a takeout offer for Corvus. You've got a hot area. So, you know, I see what's happening there, and I looked at Tonopah. It's another one of these historic districts. In fact, I think historically it's even a better district in terms of historic past production. I think. I'm not quite sure about that. And then I contrast that against what's going on in the bigger market. You know, I see silver producers coming into Nevada. See First Majestic buying a gold mine. See Endeavor yesterday or the day before buying a gold deposit. I see what's going on even with the major gold producers. I see Centerra having to face the short end of the stick in Kyrgyzstan. Right. And I just see now, you know, the non-traditional majors, i.e. the not Barrick and not Newmont, are going to look in Nevada and go, geez, you know, there's a lot of opportunity here. So with that in mind, we want to have our ducks in a row. We want to be ready for that.
All right. Galen, appreciate your time. Congratulations on this. Just really incredible. And I will say it again, bonanza hit. It's great for the company and great for shareholders. So great job, buddy.
That's great. Thanks very much, Trevor. Much appreciated. But this is just the start. You know, now is not the time for us to take our feet off the gas, our foot off the gas pedal at all. This is the time to push harder.
That's Galen McNamara of Summa Silver. They trade on the TSX Venture with SSVR and on the OTCQB with SSVRF. They are a sponsor of the podcast, and I am also a shareholder of the company. Thanks, Galen. Take care, buddy.
Thanks, Trevor.
The information presented should not be considered investment advice. Mining Stock Daily and its affiliates are not responsible for any loss arising from any investment decision in connection with the material presented herein. Please do your own research or speak with a licensed financial representative before making any investment decisions.